Since the damning allegations were made about the scale of influence exerted by President Park's long-term friend over key government decisions, thousands of protesters have taken to the streets of the capital, Seoul, to call for Park to step down. And they've been doing so to K-pop music such as this one, Gangnam Style by the South Korean singer Psy. Choi Soon-sil, the woman at the center of a scandal, arrived on Monday at the prosecutor's office for questioning with her face shielded from cameras and wearing a dark scarf. She said she'd committed a sin and deserved to die. One man took her statement seriously and tried to break into the prosecutor's office in what appeared to be an attempt to kill her. So what sin did the woman described as South Korea's Rasputin commit? Abraham Sumalinog from Transparency International Korea has his idea.
Saying the word sin would be probably coming from the religion that her dad has established. Her dad was the one who introduced Choi Soon-sil to Park, and the dad of Choi Soon-sil was a former pastor, and he was the one who established some sort of a new religion at that time.
The story has gripped the nation with lurid reports of religious cults and shamanistic rituals. The Korean media even reported that at one point, President Park's mind, body and soul were entirely controlled by Choi Soon-sil. But intriguing as it may sound, Hazel Smith, the director of the International Institute of Korean Studies at the University of Lancaster, says none of it has been proven.
I think we've got to be really, really careful. South Korea is a great blogosphere. It's one of the most wired countries in the world. Every and any conspiracy theory or mad theory will be circling around the blogosphere in South Korea, and cults, etc. We see emerging sometimes into the press as well, the more established press. But all these things are actually not just not proven, but they're almost irrelevant to the political process, which is the fact that you've got a strong president over which historically it's been very difficult for South Korean publics to hold to account.
Irrespective of the mad theories being tossed around, Hazel argues that the real issue South Koreans are worried about is the weak functioning of their democracy, which has allowed President Park to make decisions with little or no scrutiny. One of those decisions was sharing secret documents with Choi Soon-sil, a move which means the president could now face investigation. Her friend, though, has already been charged. Choi Soon-sil is accused of using her presidential connections to force large companies to donate nearly $70 million to two government-linked foundations. But Choi Soon-sil has not been charged with bribery, a decision that has angered civil society groups such as Korean Lawyers for Democracy. Se-yung Nam is a member of the organization.
If only abuse of power apply, those whole amount of sentence can be detrimentally reduced, because on the bribery charge, if the amount of the bribe is exceed $100,000, then the person who offered the bribe can be liable for life sentence or at least more than 10 years of imprisonment. But only under the abuse of authority charge, the person can only be liable for not more than 5 years or only can be fined with $10,000. And secondly, if only abuse of power apply, then those conglomerate who offered money can only be victims and cannot be liable for anything.
Big donations were made by companies such as Samsung and Hyundai, many of whom were struggling at the time of funding. They argue they were forced into donating to the Mir and K-Sport foundations run by Choi Soon-sil. Abraham Sumalinog of Transparency International says that those that didn't cough up paid the price.
One of the companies, which is a big one, a shipping company, is Hanjin Shipping. It donated just a small amount of money during that time. But as we can see nowadays, just recently, the company is collapsing. And Choi Soon-sil was sort of calling this company a lukewarm supporter to her foundation. So in a way, I could say that it could be a form of a bribe, although it's sort of a forced donation because at that time these companies were also kind of struggling.
As for the foundation's objective of promoting Korean culture and fostering athletic talent, there's little evidence they even did that, says Abraham.
We cannot find any evidence that it has really helped in terms of cultural promotion and sports in Korea. Well, actually, in fact, the daughter of Chi Sun-sil, she became an athlete, the horse rider.
Yeah, yes.
But she's not really, you know, capable. She doesn't have that talent to become one of those good athletes.
Yet this is someone who Choi Sun-sil wanted to compete in the 2020 Olympics. She's often been accused of using her connections to garner preferential treatment for her daughter, who was admitted into Korea's best university and who reportedly barely attended a single class. Transparency International and other groups have called for a thorough investigation into exactly how the money donated to Choi's foundations was used and whether companies received benefits in return. For Se-yung Nam of the Korean Lawyers Society, there's no doubt bribery was involved. And she insists Choi Sun-sil was aided by other top government officials, including the president's former senior secretary for policy cooperation, An Jong-beom.
This public officer, Mr. An, who is the president's secretary, was unjustly solicited by a certain organization called FKI. It stands for Federation of Korean Industries. And because of that solicitation, those enterprises raised money, and those money were given to those two problematic foundations. This organization constantly pressed the government to enact certain laws or amend certain laws or, you know, make certain government policy in huge favor of those conglomerates.
South Korea already has experience of its leaders being involved in bribery, explains Se-yung.
We have precedent in our history back in 1988 where the two former presidents actually raised money through the very same organization, FKI, from the conglomerate. And in that case, those bribery is constituted under what they called comprehensive bribe theory.
This was the charge meted out to former President Chun Doo-hwan in the 1980s when he was arrested for receiving company funds after he established the Il-hae Foundation. For now, there is no evidence that President Park herself received money from the Mir and K-Sport foundations, but for Hazel Smith, the damage has already been done.
One of the reasons the South Korean public is so up in arms about all this right now is because they thought with President Park that they had a different sort of president, that there would not be the sorts of scandals that they've seen attached to all previous presidents, not necessarily from actions by the presidents themselves, but by those that are close to them, close family members who use their closeness to the president to gain financial benefits and other sorts of benefits for them. This is something that the South Korean public, I think, feels very strongly about, which is why they go out on the streets when they see this. They're not just protesting against the South Korean president. They're protesting against the whole political establishment, which doesn't seem to be able to work very well in a modern country. And the South Korean public get very embarrassed that they're seen on a world stage as not being able to conduct politics effectively in what is a democracy.
It's a democracy that has only existed for about 30 years, when there was a transfer from military rule to a civilian government in 1987. The growing scandal suggests that South Korea still faces a democratic vacuum when it comes to holding presidents to account. And despite President Park's decision to sack her top aides and delivering tearful apologies, the public remained defiant, says Se-yung.
I think this whole scandal is totally against the principle of democracy, because we as people elected the president, but actually the person who actually controls the president is somebody as just ordinary citizen. So the people's whole outrage comes from that.
For Abraham, Choi Sun-sil and the president's former secretary are merely scapegoats.
They are not just the only ones. They are just, the scapegoats of people who are maybe more responsible. Usually the people who surrenders, they are the people in the lower rank. And people on top of them are the one in the higher level asking or forcing these people in the lower rank to accept the guilt or the blame. This scandal, I think, is just somewhere in the middle of the all this mess. You know, I mean, things are still coming out, I think. It's not going to end soon, you know.
It's a tangled web which has now mobilized over 100 investigators. And experts predict that more names are likely to emerge from the woodwork as the biggest scandal to hit South Korea in decades continues to unravel. You've been listening to Spotlight on Asia this week with me, Christina Okello. A special thank you to my guests, Abraham Sumalinog from Transparency International Korea, Hazel Smith, Director of the International Institute of Korean Studies at the University of Lancaster, and Se-Yung Nam from the civil society group Korean Lawyers for Democracy. And above all, thank you to you for listening. Until next time, stay tuned to RFI.